Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. For 35 years, New Life has been transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Becky Brown, and today we have some amazing women on the show. We've got Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Alice Benton. So I know that you want to call in and get some great advice from these wise women I'm so privileged to be working with. And, you know, one of the things that we get a lot of calls about, and by the way, you can call 229-3000. That's always the number to reach us here. But one of the calls, we always get calls about people who are struggling in relationships, that somebody is bugging them or really sucking the life out of them or something along that line. And, you know, we've been talking about feeling drained in relationships. You know, you just get so tired of having to do the same thing or having the same conversation over and over again. What do you do if that is your life? What do you do about those relationships that are draining you?
Well, it's interesting because I just had a situation yesterday where I realize a difficult person that I have had to interact with kind of catches me off guard, right? And so I took it to a trusted friend and said, okay, I just need some clarity here on this, right? Can you help me sort it out? Because I find when I get around this person, I get kind of fuzzy. Or when I hear things, I get kind of fuzzy. So could you help me? And just, you know, putting it out there and helping yourself to really process, I think, why in certain relationships it feels difficult or sticky or just confusing, I think is really, really important to do.
Yeah,
so that we don't just react, right?
Right. Well, and you were listened to, Jill, as you just processed what you were feeling. And I think that's the power of connection. Mm-hmm. Alice, how about you? I'm sure you get along with everybody, right, Alice? And so you don't ever have this problem.
Can't say that that's true, Mom. I wish it were. I find that one of the prayer requests that God seems to answer the best and the most clearly is the request for energy and creative ways of interacting with draining people.
Yeah.
And he answers that prayer for my children because I can be draining to them. But when we ask him to show us, how can I show up for this person in a way that is a better image bearer of you to them? We have to tailor our approach sometimes, because with some people, maybe we can be very conversational. But for others, the conversation style is too draining. And so maybe we interact through acts of service. Maybe we do for them. Or perhaps we've got to engage more with written conversation, whether it's letters or text, because the face-to-face conversation just doesn't happen well. And so choosing different forms of interaction can better safeguard the limited time and energy that we have for them, because we want to show up in a generous way. So if we're coming with bitterness and resentment, it's a sign that the style we're trying is not working. We should adjust the style. Experiment.
You know, it's funny because in recovery, we talk about working our side of the street. And this month, March, we're featuring Take Your Life Back, which is really focused on working your side of the street and about these kind of life-sucking relationships that we can get into sometimes. And sometimes it is us, and sometimes it is
That's the
other person.
Yeah. Right.
And so having the wisdom, you know, it makes me think of the Serenity Prayer, you know, grant me the wisdom to you know, change the things I can.
Yes.
Wisdom to know the difference. And it also reminds me of Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And so that we're not governed by the other, but we are focused and we're able to connect with somebody who would be a safe person, like you were talking about, Jill. Mm-hmm. But also, like you were saying, Alice, is that, you know, check yourself, and then you won't wreck yourself. That's a nice way of saying that. We are going to continue taking calls today at 1-800-229-3000. But, you know, if this message is something that you're dealing with, give us a call for a copy of Take Your Life Back for a gift of any amount. You're going to support the ministry, but you're also going to get some wisdom in this book by Dr. Dave Stoop and Steve Arterburn. It'll make a difference in a couple people's lives. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I always say that I love our YouTube audience, and it's because I'm one of you. That's where I watch when I'm not doing the show or if I'm not in the car. But I want to say hello to you on YouTube. But, you know, if you are a listener and don't watch on YouTube, it's a great way to catch up. And you can share and subscribe, and it really makes a difference in getting the message out. I hear all the time about how New Life has changed people's lives just by listening to the program. And that's what we're here for, is to help you do life in a better way. Right now, we're going to take our caller from Dallas, Texas. It's Carol, who's calling us from KWRD. Hi, Carol. We're so glad you called. How can we help you today?
Yes, thank you so much for taking my call. I love your program. My situation is kind of difficult. I lost my mom 4 months ago. I had a wonderful relationship for over 40 years with my stepfather. He called me his daughter. My sister and I took care of my mom for the last 2 years, and my sister even lived there for like 6 months, and then we'd go back and forth. And after my mom passed away, I took care of, I stayed with my stepfather for 3 weeks, and then I was going back and forth for 3 to 4 times a week, bringing him food and cleaning. And he ended up falling and was in the hospital for a week, and I went to the hospital and took care of him. And then out of the blue, his son, my stepbrother, who I haven't quite seen 10 times in my whole, the 40 years that they were together, and he doesn't have a really close relationship with his dad. He just talks to him a few times a year. Well, he texted me, like, in the morning when I was at the hospital taking care of my stepfather, that it was just this bizarre text saying I needed to leave quietly, or he would have me escorted out by the police.
Goodness. Oh, my gosh.
And it was just so bizarre. Yeah, it was so bizarre. And then when, I asked him if he wanted me to leave my stepfather, and he said no. And I said, okay. And I didn't want to tell my stepfather what was happening because I thought it would hurt him. Yeah. So I took him to the rehab center for a few weeks to, get stronger before he went home. And then when I was dropping off the car, apparently my stepfather, brother had put in surveillance cameras, saw me pull up to drop off the car, called the sheriff, and said I was trespassing, which, like I said, we were living there, basically, and he's done this twice. He ended up, the deputy said, hey, the same thing happened to me. You need to go talk to a lawyer or a judge, and we talked to a judge in a small town. She said to get a lawyer, so we talked to a lawyer. We didn't want to hire it, but then when my stepbrother called Adult Protective Services and filed charges against me.
Oh, wow.
We had to. My sister and I had to get a lawyer. But she and I have kind of been wrestling with, do we take him to court? We finally told him what was going on, and he didn't seem to care. My stepfather, we even had his best friend from church talk to him. He didn't want to hear it. His son talked him into moving down a couple of 5 hours away to where he lives.
So Carol, the family is in an uproar, and this is all kind of just a mess. What is the best way we can help you in this process? What would be a question?
Well, my question is, they're refusing to probate my mom's will, so we had to get a lawyer. But we've been questioning, did God want us to really do this? But I mean, my mom's best friends, her sister, even, my stepfather's friend from church says, no, you need to follow through with this. You are the heirs in the will. Your mother wouldn't want this. We're just trying to find a peace.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my heart because I was so confused.
Yes.
It's not even about the money. It's about the relationship.
It's a double loss here for you, Carol. You just lost your mom, right? And your stepdad has been your dad. right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's literally been your dad for 40 years. And so now to have him yanked away from you is huge. No wonder why you're so upset. And of course, it's very confusing. And, you know, it's weird when things, when someone is removed from a family system, everything gets shaken up. And so whatever issues your stepbrother has had with his dad, something with the removal of your mom is changing there. And we don't know his motivation. But people around loss start dealing with all kinds of unresolved issues, right? And parts of them come out. And they're trying to get either a sense of importance in the relationship or make up for how they have felt slighted. And so I am so sorry that this is happening to you, because you are really going to have to grieve this loss, right? He's still living, and yet you're losing him. And I think what you said about following through on your mom's wishes is correct. That's what your mom set up. And so that's the not fun part, right? Because we don't want a person's life to be reduced to money. But right. I think following through on what legally was set up is the right thing to do. And right. and then sorting out the feelings as you go.
Right. Alice, what would you offer, Carol?
Carol, I want to praise your bravery that you didn't step down when you got that initial text, but rather stood strong. You didn't let your stepbrother dictate your actions with your stepfather that day. That must have taken immense courage, especially as we see the story play out and what your stepbrother is capable of. Mm-hmm. So I see where your heart is, which is trying your best to love your stepfather. And of course, you'd be hesitant to enter into this legal fray. First of all, you're depleted with the loss of your mother. And then you're wondering, is this really the right thing to do? So will you help me identify, what's your worst fear of what will happen if you pursue the legal battle?
Well, I go from, my stepfather told my aunt that he didn't care about me. And he was just protecting himself. And he was just, or he wasn't protecting him. He was just going to, it was all about him. And he didn't care what his son was doing to me. And that just hurt me. So I go from being really angry to being really sad. And it's just hard, because I lost my biological father 2 years ago, and he was my rock. And, but I had, like I said, an amazing close relationship with my stepfather. We went on trips together, he and my mom and me. And, we were always over there. And so, like I said, I go from anger to I don't ever want to see him again. How can he do this?
So Carol, do you not trust your own judgment because you're feeling such extreme sways in emotion?
A lot.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. So then I'd ask you to take a little bit more time before you make that next legal decision. And if you're not speaking with a therapist, having a couple of sessions, whether it's with a counselor, a therapist, or a coach, can help you to process the emotion so that you can make this choice from a calmer, more emotionally stable place. Is there room to wait a little bit longer to be able to stabilize first before making the next legal decision?
Well, the problem is, they talked to a friend of theirs who's a lawyer, and they started selling everything and taking the money. And they sold, like, properties and, closed bank accounts. And their lawyer said, well, no, you need an accounting. You can't do that until you probate the will, and they don't care.
There really isn't time.
They don't care following the laws or anything.
There isn't time. They're already taking apart your mom's estate.
Exactly.
Okay, so then because you don't have time, then next we try to rely on the judgment of wise counsel around us. And it sounds like the summary of counsel, even from outside voices, the sheriff, the judge, the lawyer, they're all saying move forward. So then I'd have you combine my prior advice with follow the advice of the wise people in your circles that they're giving you, but get into therapy as soon as possible. Get into counseling so that you can keep processing the emotions and making the decisions from a less emotional place.
Well, and it's like what you said, Jill, about when one person moves, and in grief, there are so many things that change. And Carol, one thing I would add to what both of these women have just said is that this means that you're going to have to not visit your father-in-law or your stepfather, excuse me. And that's going to be hard. That's going to be painful. But it doesn't mean that you're wrong. It just means that that's wise to just listen to that wisdom of it's just going to cause more trouble. Jill?
Well, right. Another thought is, have you seen any glimpses of this over the 40 years from your stepfather that you have ignored? That maybe you just didn't want to look at where he seemed all about him and really not caring, but kind of maybe appeasing your mom? So that's question one and question.
Yeah, you have.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Even my mom's friend was like, "I'm not surprised."
Okay.
But she's like, you know, this was what I was expecting. I'm like, not in a million years, but
right. So you just saw all the good. But it's important to acknowledge that maybe because there was so much good there and in with your mom as a group, it was good that you maybe overlooked or ignored those awarenesses about him. And so with your mom gone, there's no one to buffer this side of him. And perhaps, you know, he has longed for more of a relationship with his son. And now suddenly his son is paying attention, even if it's out of greed. Or, right?
Well, yeah, he was real excited. He was like, oh, you know, he came to see me in the hospital.
Yeah.
And, you know, twice. He didn't know that he was harassing me, and that's why they were there.
So it sounds like it doesn't.
I didn't want to tell him.
It might not even.
I thought it would hurt him. I had no idea.
And it might not matter to your stepfather what his son's motives are. He just wants his son active in his life. So it might appear to be good enough for him that is this. Yeah. Son is finally present. I want to say one more thing about your anger. Your anger may be exactly the right emotion to be feeling at this time because it's a God-given emotion and it promotes action.
Right.
And it can help you to take action despite your grief because grief can be so depleting. It's usually exhausting, but anger is energizing. And so although as Christians we might think it's not good to feel angry, you know, don't let the sun go down on your anger, and there's reason to be cautious with our anger. And yet anger energizes and fuels us to protect what needs to be protected. And so it's not necessarily a bad thing to feel so angry right now.
Well, and it is part of that grief process as well, too. And Carol, I think the best suggestion would be to go through with the legal responsibilities of processing what your mom's estate is, and also to not get hooked in to the greed game, because man, how many stories have we heard over the years of families just exploding after someone dies? And I think it is part of the processing of grief. I don't think that people realize that's what's happening.
Yeah.
But Carol, you just don't want to get sucked into becoming somebody part of their game. And you're going to be sad because you won't have that connection with your stepfather anymore. But we're going to send you a copy of the grief workbook, the Life Recovery Grief Workbook, that I think will give you some help as you process. And we'll also connect you with a counselor in your area because I do think that that would be a great way to have that support. You know, grief is something that we all will experience at different times, and it shocks us. And then the after effects will bring some of that shock as well. And so, you know, I don't know, Alice or Jill, before we go to the break, and we're going to keep taking calls at 1-800-229-3000, but just before we go to the break, what are some things to expect when grief surprises us?
Well, I think facing our grief and intentionally moving into it when we have safe people around us and the timing is right during the day to do so, because it helps us to move through the grief. We have a tendency to avoid it or to think time will heal this if I just let time pass, but it's not true. Mm-hmm. We need to interact with our grief with other people in order to start healing with it and from it.
So true. Jill, anything else?
Well, I think that's absolutely right. And it will come up at times when you least expect it. And just let it wash over you. Just let it be there. You don't have to quickly push it away.
Yeah, so true. So true. When we love deeply, we hurt deeply when that love is changed, whether it's through death or loss of any kind. And grief is something that we have to pay attention to because it will call for our attention, whether we're expecting it or not. But we're so glad you called, Carol, and we'll be praying for your family. We're going to continue taking calls. We're going to talk to Martin or Marlon after this break. If you need any help, we're here for you, and we want to help. So call us.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We were just talking about how hard it is, you know, just to manage that grief, and we just feel for Carol and the situation. We are going to talk to Marlon, who's calling us from San Antonio, Texas, listens on Sirius XM. Hi, Marlon. I'm so glad you called. How can we help you?
Hi, good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Hey, I'm kind of torn apart. I'm a recent retiree from the Air Force, and I came from the Philippines, and I got adopted at 10 years old. Huh. So I was at the childhood days where I lived through being poor and barely having anything to eat. And when the U.S. Military was still there in the Philippines, my dad met my mom, and he adopted me and started from there. And then I joined the Air Force, and now 23 years later, I'm retired. So it is... through the last, knowing the difference between being poor and feel so blessed right now because of the way where God brought me, I feel so obligated to the point where I want my family, my wife, and my kids to go to church with me, and I want them to feel the way I feel, the way how much I feel so blessed. But it just seems so hard for me to explain it to them, the way to express it, the way to appreciate it. And it just, it's basically tearing me away from my family. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want that to happen. It came to the point where my thought was I should probably just stop going to church or stop reading the Word of God, because it seems like the more that I read, the more that I know, and the more that I feel obligated to tell my family that they should be doing this, and I just don't know how to get through them. So I'm not sure what I can do.
Okay.
I'm seeing a counselor right now because...
Marlon, how old are your children?
Hello. Oh, they're adults already. 25, 22, 20, and 14. They're all boys, too. Oh. So you could actually... see the difference between my relationship with my boys and her relationship with her boys, with my boys.
What do you mean, her relationship with her boys?
Well, it's always that understanding that sons and moms have a better relationship than dads and sons, or the opposite. So
it's a different bond, for sure.
I have that disadvantage to my kids. And being that we were a one... income family. I was in the Air Force, so she had the opportunity to stay home to take care of the kids and take care of the home and stuff.
Right, and yet, Marlon, at a certain age, boys really need their dads because you're the one they're going to identify with in how to be a man, and especially in these upper ages, right? I mean, moms are really bonded to boys earlier in life. But then at a certain point, we make our boys feel young, and they want to feel big and manly. And so that's where, and it may be different, you know, when they need comfort, they go to mom. But when they need to know how to get out there in the world, they go to dad. So I wouldn't discount your role. I have found that a dad is essential in all kids' lives, and that helping them to step into adulthood. So even if it's not intimately talking, it's getting out there and doing things together and checking in on them and showing interest in their lives.
Marlon, what would you say is your youngest boy's favorite pastime?
Video games.
Sure. And I'm going to build off of what Jill said, because oddly enough, one of the best ways to show God's love to your 14-year-old is to sit down and play video games with him. And that's so strange, because it's so counterintuitive. Shouldn't you be talking about the Bible and straightening them up and telling them what they should do so that they can experience God's blessings like you have? Your motivation is spot on, and your heart is in the right spot. You just want them to understand God's goodness the way that you do. And the way we display God's goodness is with actions much more than with words, as Jill is pointing out. So spending a lot more time listening, being curious, and getting to know your boys, building relationship with them, makes it more likely that they'll be able to receive God's truth from you. But you've probably had to be away from the home a lot with the work that you do. And so there, some of that foundation of rapport and attachment with your boys, it might need strengthening. How do you react to our advice when we're taking a sharp turn from what you seem to be asking about?
Well, no, I am aware of that. My wife is in a very good understanding with that concept of me being actively in their presence and stuff like that. But I don't know if my personality may be getting in the way with that, because I would rather feel, I feel like I just don't want to be around anybody, you know? I feel like I could just feel better that I'm just by myself without interacting with people. And I think because I was, you know, being raised as a child in the Philippines, you know, when, as a boy, if I ever, like, broke a glass that I was walking on, I'd already have a belt on my butt and my ear being pulled and stuff like that.
Marlon?
So I was kind of like...
Marlon?
Yes?
Marlon, I hate to interrupt you. We're going to go to a break, but we'll come back to you afterwards, because this is a different subject altogether.
Yeah.
And I know that your heart is for your family to love and serve Christ. And yet what you just said is pretty powerful. The isolation that you are drawing into is probably a bigger problem than you might even realize. And we, you know, we're glad that you're going to a counselor, but we're going to talk about that right after this break. We're going to continue taking calls, 1-800-229-3000.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are finishing our call with Marlon, and just discovered right before the break that he's wanting to stay isolated. But Jill and Alice, I think you have some instruction for Marlon.
Marlon, what you said about originally, I know my ears perked up when you said you wanted to pull away from God and maybe you should stop reading the Bible, right? Which seems not the right solution to do, right? Because people aren't coming along with you. And we were talking at the break. You've been in the Air Force all these years, and that provided you, I think, Becky, you were talking about that, that provided you a lot of structure and a purpose and organized your life. And now in retirement, it's really common for men who have had an identity in that, in their careers, to feel at a loss. And so you're wanting to do some things differently. You have this time. You're wanting to connect with your boys. And yet you're also wanting to withdraw a lot from people. And I would imagine that the lack of structure and feeling maybe a lack of purpose or a lack of being able to get people to follow you in a purpose is really, really difficult, even depressing to you. And I'm really glad that you I'm really glad that you're in counseling. And I want you to realize that those feelings of wanting to pull back from everything, those are feelings that that you are like depressed under. And that is not where God would have you be, right? Working through this and coming out from underneath those feelings and being able to maybe deal with some of the things from your childhood. You did grow up in your first decade in the Philippines, and you had a very different experience. And sometimes when we stop and we stand still and it's like, oh, okay, I don't have anything to distract me, those old feelings surface, and it's like, wait, this is familiar. Where is this coming from? And so some of this may even be that little boy stuff that doesn't feel connected and doesn't know what to do. And maybe, I don't know, I'm just guessing, maybe as a child, you had to kind of pull in to keep yourself safe and protected.
It sounds right. Alice, what would you have to offer, Marlon?
Oh, Marlon, I feel a lot of empathy for you.
Yeah.
I'm an introvert, and I suspect you are as well, where people can be draining for us, and we re-energize by pulling away from people. But in retirement, you're facing how much time you wish you could be spending with your family, being a model and an example for them. And I think part of your instinct is right. As you wonder, do I pull away from God and faith talk? I think it is good to talk a lot less about faith for now, but don't stop your own faith practices, because that is a spiritual fuel.
Mm-hmm.
But you may need to get other men around you, which can be terrifying. Marlon, as an introvert, I don't want to go to groups. I don't want to talk about myself. I even struggle to play with my own kids because it doesn't come naturally to me. I like task. I like productivity. I like checking things off a list. I truly, Marlon. But I chose to get into group because I knew that my own anxiety was complicating my ability to engage with my loved ones as much as I desire to. And so adding a group to your individual work, possibly inviting your wife in for some couples counseling so that you can start to find out, what has it been like for my family when I talked about faith? Did it come across as too much of a lecture and less of a family discussion?
Mm-hmm.
And so combining these things together, Marlon, we think you'll start to see a breakthrough with your family.
Yeah, I agree. We're going to send you a copy of Soul of a Man and Loving Well and Finishing Strong. Two books. I'm pulling a Steve here because I think that both of those books will help you, Marlon, in this new chapter of your life. And we're going to encourage you to stay connected with that counselor, but we're glad you called today. We're going to go to Louise, who's calling us from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, listens on WBYN. Thanks for calling, Louise. How can we help you today?
Hi. I'm trying to help my son through I call it a crisis. His marriage is in crisis. He's a believer, but she's not. And he feels like they're getting nowhere. She's put up a block. And she says she doesn't have any spark or love for him anymore. And we're just lost.
Louise, I'm so sorry.
What would you say was the most significant rupture that happened between your son and his wife?
He said that she told him that he wasn't giving her any personal attention. He thinks that's where they got off track. He wasn't telling her he loved her, even though he was showing it. And she wasn't getting any words. And now he's doing everything, and she's calling him Mr. Perfect.
How long have they been married?
10 years, and they have 2 children, an 8 and a 5-year-old.
And what kind of help is your son asking for from you, and is your daughter-in-law open to any help from you?
She won't talk to me at all because I'm a believer, and she doesn't want to bring God into it or faith or anything.
How about your son?
Oh, he went back to church, and they did get a counselor together, but she insisted that it wasn't a Christian counselor. And I'm lost.
What kind of help is your son asking for from you, or what is he open to from you?
He calls me. He pours his heart out to me, and I give him scripture to try to strengthen him. And mostly he just needs my support.
Mm-hmm. So you're a safe person and a sounding board for him.
Yes.
Okay, that's actually doing a lot, Louise. Do you realize that? When you say you're at a loss, your job...
Well, actually, it is a loss. I'm blessed that he's willing to talk to me and share his heart with me.
Right. But it's not. It's less about you having profound words and more about you just hearing him and letting him process through it.
And I know that we would prefer, Louise, I know that we would prefer, and of course we believe in Christian counseling, but here's the thing. Mm-hmm. We've got to find help for them, and if your daughter-in-law is not open to Christian counseling, we have to move forward in counseling so that they can get in the same room with a therapist who can maybe help them iron out whatever has caused the disruption. Because I don't hear that there's a thing, you know, I mean, I wonder what the thing is, Louise, is that has there been infidelity either on your daughter-in-law or your son? I mean, what is the big disruption
or there's just been
in the relationship?
A gap that's gotten wider and wider.
Mm-hmm.
Louise.
Well, supposedly there's no affair going on with either of them.
Mm-hmm.
Her job is her life. And
well, that's like an affair sometimes.
It is. Because I've mentioned to him my thoughts, my input. I said, she's not really being a mother. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Her job is her life. And she comes home after work and they only have an hour and a half before they put the kids to bed. And then all summer they go to summer camp. They pay for that. And it's...
And so that's the hard part, Louise. I think the best way that you can help is like what you've been doing. Be a sounding board, but I would probably dial back on your opinions about the daughter-in-law just because you're going to see it differently. And I just think it would be good to be a champion for their marriage. Jill, you got something to add there?
Well, right. And just what you were saying, Becky, about counseling. Louise, God can work through non-Christian counselors. And that's what your prayer needs to be. That they can get in the same room and that they can start talking. And whatever walls she's putting up, that those walls will come down. As perhaps he leans into her a little bit more. Sometimes it's the dad that's more at home and is the nurturer. There are some families like that, and that can still work too. If she maybe is even the main breadwinner or her job takes up more time. But if she were feeling more connected to your son, right, then some of those other complaints and even time may shift and change. And that's what you want. You want them to find their way back to each other because that's best for the kids.
Yes, and there's a lot of families that have strange working situations and hours, and they make it work. And we're going to send you a copy of How We Love that you can pass along. She may or may not like it. It's based on scientific evidence. It's got faith in it as well, but I think it could help her get an understanding about how to connect.
Or help your son understand.
Or help your son, exactly. Mm-hmm. And raising their kids. We hate to hear about marriages splitting up, and we want to help in any way possible. We're glad that you called, Louise. And we're going to continue taking calls, 1-800-229-3000. We've got some lines available, but if you're on the line, hold on, and after this, we will get to your call. We're looking forward to talking to you.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. It's not too late to join us this Saturday online for Lose It for Life. We're going to have a workshop that's all online with Steve Arterburn and Michelle Spadafora. And if weight has been a challenge for you, this one day could make the difference in all of the things. We still have our breakout groups. We have, Michelle will be doing exercise sessions throughout the day. And, you know, we've been doing this for a long time and have helped so many people figure out how to address the weight issues. And that's what we want to do for you. So give us a call. And, you know, it may be the call that makes all the difference for this year.
And if exercise has never been enjoyable for you, or if it's been really overwhelming, Michelle will break right through that.
Yes,
and she'll show you how to make it fun and even a connection to God.
She has such a joy spirit.
Sign up, Jill.
We all do. We're going to go back to the calls, and we're going to continue taking them. So you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. We're going to talk to Charles, who's calling us from Bristol, Tennessee, and listens to us on the internet. Charles, thanks for calling. How can we help you?
Hi. I was calling. I need to find out how to live with my wife is in serious chronic pain. Been going on for almost 2 years. It's a small fiber neuropathy, but not like it's one that like the medicines just don't touch. It's just not touching, and we've done everything. Like we've done everything every doctor said, every website said. We've spent money, time, all we can do, and I don't know what to do.
Well, I love that you have that concern for her, Charles. I have one question before Allison and Jill start. Have you had her see a counselor at all or a psychologist?
I want to give you an honest answer. I'm trying to think here. I guess not.
Okay.
No.
The reason why I just start off with that is because our bodies do keep pain within them that sometimes is related to trauma. And it's not all up in her head or anything like that. The pain is real, but it is how the body responds. But Jill, do you want to start with some options for her?
Yes. For some people, Charles, it's like their body takes all the hits. Right. And I've seen people like this over the years where they go from one physical issue to the next. Right. And the processing of things can bring some relief. Now, it doesn't mean that her symptoms aren't real or that she doesn't have a real diagnosis. And I think it's kind of two pronged. You have to continue searching and doing everything you can with doctors and getting second opinions and, you know, trying the latest things. But at the same time, her emotional health, because she's having to live with this chronic pain.
Right.
And we know that that affects one's outlook on life, one's personality. It's really difficult. And for you, it's like you've lost parts of your wife.
Right.
This pain. You're having to share her with this pain. And how do you do this long suffering, right? It's kind of an endurance test of time.
Yeah.
And that you're having to draw alongside her and watch her. And that's really difficult. So how do you manage your upset about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I just keep going to God every day. I stay in my Bible a good bit, and I try to keep things. I'm busy with, we homeschool, and she's a stay-at-home mom, I just try to do the stuff we're supposed to do. I try to do that, and then, and I will say this: if this makes a difference, I know she didn't have this issue at all until the COVID shot, and we've talked to doctors at some prestigious universities, and they seem to think. Yeah, that's what triggered this. She already had some autoimmune stuff going on for 20-something years, but it wasn't anything crazy, totally unbearable. And then this occurred, you know, she took the shot, and it seemed like, boy, right away, that just, I've read it can happen, you know, where,
it's the perfect
storm. even like you were saying Jill, regardless of how the pain started, the pain has now impacted the family. And then I know that if you've talked to her, she's feeling bad about feeling bad. And that is a cycle that is very tough to get out of. Alice, what would you offer Charles?
Charles, do you feel selfish when you need a break or when you experience anger with her and the pain and the system itself?
Do I feel what again?
Selfish.
No, I don't think. I try to keep, I think, a proper perspective. I mean, I try to remember that, you know, 100 years ago, he likely didn't make it to the age of 40, and I know that there are people that are their children dying in hospitals, and I know that we're to be grateful in all things. I try to keep that focus there. I don't feel selfish because the psalmer, much of the Psalms is complaints to God.
Yes, right.
About where is he in the midst of that. So I don't feel selfish. I do feel like I should, I don't know if he's trying to teach some kind of a growth thing. I've never been through anything where it's been a couple years of this.
Yes, what prolonged pain. I'm glad you don't feel selfish about needing time perhaps apart from her. And I want to encourage that idea that taking breaks and taking time for yourself is actually taking care of her, because it helps you to continue to maintain your stability. And what I hope you'll add, because you're doing all the right spiritual exercises, I hope you'll add getting support from other people outside of your family, whether it's a support group of family members who deal with chronic pain, because you will need to complain to other people, and you'll need to hear that what you're going through is so normal, and you'll get burnt out at times. And so protecting yourself is part of taking care of her. I'd also have you to prayerfully consider, is homeschooling still right for our entire family with no end in sight to this pain? I think homeschooling is ideal, and it's wonderful when families can do it. Be willing to hold that loosely if you may need to take a break from homeschooling for a time because her pain is too great to continue doing so.
Yeah.
You know,
well, we're so glad.
Charles, I want to recommend something. It's outside of our New Life system, but there's a book called Suffering Strong by Jay and Catherine Wolfe. Her situation is more extreme. She had a stroke at an early age, but they have a ministry called Hope Heals, and it deals with all kinds of having to work through things that feel unfair, physical pain. So you might check out that book.
I am also going to have you connect with our call center for a counselor in the area, because I do think that you're going to need help with this, because chronic pain, no matter where the origin is, affects the way that we think, the way that we move, the way we relate to other people. And whether your story is like Charles' wife, or maybe you've got a different experience with pain, it's important to kind of get to some kind of process of relief and finding out, you know, it's not just the medical relief, but it's also just the grief that goes along with that loss of life as you knew it. We're so glad you called, Charles. I'm going to send him a copy of Healing is a Choice, even though it's not about physical healing. It is about the process of finding that hope in the midst of overwhelming circumstances, and I think it can be very encouraging for him. You know, as we close out, you know, we're so grateful for everybody who's on the line, and we're going to get to you in the next hour, so don't hang up. But, you know, we're grateful for those who give to New Life, because it makes such a difference in the lives of our callers, in the lives of our listeners, and the people that we serve. And that's what we're here for. We want to be able to continue to help. Thank you to our Club New Life family. And if you want to join Club New Life, we got a beautiful library of books that can help you. Just give us a call and we'll show you how. Thank you, Jill, and thank you, Alice.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.